I woke every so often to the feel of his fingers dancing over my skin. I'd wiggle against him and was immediately rewarded with a kiss to my cheek or my neck. I don't think he slept, but I was tired, so I drifted in and out. A feeling of peace had seeped into my muscles, and while I lay in his strong arms, all those concerns from earlier retreated outside the room. It was just him and me and the future we were making. But I still slipped into a dream, a nightmare. No longer in his arms, I was on the ground. Rough, broken asphalt dug into my palms and scraped my knees through the dirty, torn jeans. My hair hung in my face in thick clumps. I was back there, outside the warehouse, and I could feel him beside me, waiting and watching. My mouth opened, but there was no sound. "This isn't real. This isn't real." I kept repeating that over and over because I knew deep down I wasn't in that warehouse anymore. I just needed to wake up. I had to. My head was wrenched back. Panicked, my arms pinwheeled as I fell backward. My wide gaze swung over the trees, over the truck sitting by the garage bays. I landed on my ass. The bright sun was blotted out by a tall figure. Oh, no. No, no. Jerking upright, I gasped for air as I threw my arm out. The beige walls came into focus, but I wasn't seeing the walls. I didn't feel the bed under my naked skin or Seth beside me. Part of me was still back at the warehouse, outside in the almost empty parking lot. There was something there, something I saw, something I needed to see again.
Josie!
Seth was sitting up, holding onto my arm.
You okay?
I still saw the thick trees ahead of me. I could feel the hot sun beating down on my skin, the beads of sweat running down my face. I sucked in a shrill breath as pressure filled my chest and expanded. I had a nightmare. I was back at the warehouse.
Babe.
He scooted behind me as he wrapped an arm around my waist, hauling me back against his chest. The other circled me, and I was in his arms, far away from that place of hell.
You're safe.
He kissed my temple.
You're never going to have to experience anything like that again.
Leaning into him, I closed my eyes. There was something I saw while there. I know it. Something outside. I saw the woods again, the tall, never-ending trees, the needles on the ground, the cracked pavement, and the box truck. Oh, my gods!
Josie?
Pulling away from him, I twisted around. I climbed onto my knees, grasping his shoulders. I didn't even care that I was naked. I remember something.
What?
His gaze dropped to my chest because, well, he was Seth. Pay attention, I shook him. A playful grin appeared.
Sorry, you're fucking gorgeous, and I really...
Focus, I smacked his shoulders. I saw something outside the warehouse. I can't believe I didn't remember it until now, but there was some kind of truck outside, a box or delivery truck. It had a name written on the side of it, Mills and Sons. If the truck belonged to that warehouse... Understanding flashed across Seth's face.
Then we have a way to find the warehouse.
Chapter 32. Seth. As Josie took a shower, I changed into a pair of tactical pants that had been left behind and pulled on a shirt. Walking away from the bathroom and not joining her literally took every ounce of free will I had in me. I wanted nothing more than a round 3 and 4 and 10 with her, but I needed to fill Aiden in on what Josie had remembered, and she needed to get some food in her. So I had done the responsible thing, showered first and left Josie to hers. Hair still wet, I pushed it back out of my face and walked into the small sitting room. Halfway through, I came to a complete stop as my stomach did a drop, like it hit my feet. Josie was pregnant. Lifting my gaze to the ceiling, I was rooted to the floor. Ever since she'd told me, those three words floated in and out of my thoughts on an endless cycle, and each time it was like the first time hearing it. There was a rush of emotions. The happiness blew my mind. Like I'd said to Josie, I'd never even thought about having kids, to be honest. So it wasn't like I didn't want them. It just wasn't a thing. Never in 100 years would I have thought I'd actually be happy about that, but I was. I was fucking thrilled. I was fucking blessed. But gods, what I felt almost knocked me on my ass again. Closing my eyes, I exhaled roughly as I leaned over, pressing my palms into my thighs. I was never a praying man. I didn't believe the gods answered prayers, knew for a fucking fact that they didn't care enough to do so. But in that moment, I wanted to pray. I wanted to pray that this was real, that this was really happening. It seemed too good, too beautiful. Gods, it didn't seem like I deserved not only Josie, but a child as well. And that was terrifying for a whole shit ton of reasons. Because there was fear. Fear that something would happen to her, happen to the baby, to both of them. Fear that I would somehow fuck up because I had no idea how to do the whole parenting thing. Not to mention, I was seriously probably the last person on this earth anyone would trust a small child with. Less than an hour before I found out I was going to be a father, I sort of melted a guy from the inside out. So... But that was my baby. In my girl. That changed everything in a matter of seconds. Straightening, I let out a shaky laugh and found myself smiling at fucking nothing. I need to get my shit together. One way to avoid fucking this up was making the world safe for Josie and for our child. Walking out of the room, I looked down the hall, and a totally different smile appeared. Sensing out Aiden, I zeroed in on his presence. A heartbeat later, I was in another sitting area, in a room several doors down. "Hello," I said. Aiden flew up from where he was sitting on the couch. "Damn it!" Alex shrieked as she nearly slid off the arm of the couch. "Oh my gods! Now you're going to do that too?" "Not cool." Aiden's eyes were like thunderclouds. "Not cool." "I thought it was pretty cool." Alex gaped at me and then she spun around, picked up a small throw pillow, and threw it at me. I snatched the pillow out of the air and tossed it back to the couch. "I hope I wasn't interrupting."
"We were just talking," Alex answered, glaring at me.
"If not, you'd be missing two eyeballs."
"That's not the only thing he'd be missing,"
Aiden muttered. I winked at him.
"I'm actually here with some important news. Josie remembered something about the warehouse."
"And here I thought you were just popping in because you missed us."
Alex sat back down on the couch.
"What did she remember?"
"She saw a delivery truck of some sort outside the warehouse where she was kept," I told them. "She remembered that the truck had writing on it. Mills and Son."
"Hell, that's big. If that truck belonged to the warehouse, we should be able to look it up."
Aiden glanced around the room, frowning.
"I'll grab Deacon's laptop and see what I can find."
"Let me know.
If it turns out to be the right place, are you leaving right away?"
he asked. Odd question.
Gods know if Josie finds out. She's going to want all of us to go there, but I need to get some food in her and... And yeah, we'll see what happens from there.
Aiden eyed me as he nodded.
"Sounds good."
I started to say something, but my gaze slid to Alex. She was staring at the wall over my shoulder, her lips pressed together and her cheeks expanded like a puffer fish. My eyes narrowed. Her gaze flickered to me, and then quickly darted away. Sighing heavily, I folded my arms.
"Something you want to say, Alex?"
Oddly mute. She shook her head.
"Really?"
Gaze still trained on the wall. She nodded. I looked over at Aiden. What was the likelihood of her not saying something to him?
Probably somewhere around next to impossible.
Aiden dropped his gaze.
And then I saw it. The twitch of his lips as if he was trying not to smile.
You told him,
I stated. The air Alex was holding in her mouth popped out as her gaze swung around to mine.
I didn't mean to. I just sort of blurted it out. But it's Aiden. I had to tell Aiden.
She had to tell me. He agreed. Actually, she didn't.
I will not tell anyone else. I swear, and I do feel bad for saying something to Aiden because I told Josie I wouldn't. I hope she's not mad at me.
Alex squirmed on the couch, her forehead creased.
I'm sorry for saying something, but...
I couldn't find an ounce of anger in me. And then it hit me with the force of a hurricane. I wanted people to know. What the hell? I didn't even know what to do with that.
But you're going to be a father.
She finished in a whisper that sounded so awed. I blinked slowly, unfolding my arms.
Yeah. Yeah, I am.
Alex clasped her hands together.
I am made of questions right now.
You and me both. I replied dryly.
Are you happy?
I'm fucking thrilled. I cut in. And then I sat down in the chair.
I'm shocked.
My gaze flitted from Alex to Aiden. I'd never been more shocked in my life. I actually fell flat on my ass when she told me. I felt warmth hit my cheeks. It's crazy timing with everything going on, but how could I not be happy? I love Josie. I already love this child. Alex's smile raced across her face.
I think I might cry.
Please don't, I said, glancing at Aiden. Staring at the floor, he dragged his hands down his face. I tensed, every muscle locking up as I waited for Aiden to go into a lecture about how I needed to really think about things, to be a better person, like stop melting people kind of shit and wanting to kill the Titans. Alex leaned into him, placing her hand on his leg. For a moment, I didn't get it. Then I remembered. Fuck, I'd forgotten. Alex had once believed she'd been pregnant, and knowing Aiden, knowing how I felt upon hearing the news, he would have felt like me. Holy shit. Alex hadn't been pregnant. It had been Ares's doing. He had his sons invade her to mess with her head. I hadn't known he'd planned to do that. But that didn't change a damn thing in the end. I couldn't even imagine how I'd feel if that turned out to be the case after feeling all of this. I couldn't even imagine what he was feeling, what Alex was feeling. I'm sorry, I said roughly. Aiden's chin jerked up. Our gazes met, and he knew. Yeah, he knew what I was apologizing for. His throat worked on a hard swallow. Beside him, Alex cleared her throat.
I really am happy for you, Seth. I know it's crazy timing and you weren't planning for this, but you're happy with it. And so is Josie. And that's all that matters.
But it really wasn't all that mattered. Because what Josie had said earlier was right. The world wasn't going to stop turning. Not at all. I can't believe I'm saying this, but you're going to do good. Aiden smiled slightly as he nodded like he just realized he'd agreed with himself. You're going to do more than good, Seth.
I stared at him, unsure if he was having some kind of medical emergency.
He's right. That kid will want for nothing. Alex leaned back, her lips pursed.
Wait, does this mean your kid is a god? I have no idea. I need to find some books on this.
Not sure if there are books on this, Alex. Aiden turned his grin on her. All right, I said, standing. This convo is over. Aiden rose. We really are happy for you, Seth. I still want to punch you in the throat, but I am happy for you. Uh-huh. So knocked off kilter by their words, I actually walked out of the door instead of taking the cool way out.
After ensuring Josie, about 100 times, that Aiden was looking into the name on the delivery truck, we grabbed food from the cafeteria. She wanted to go outside, and I had no problem with that. Who knew if the whole sitting in the sun thing was helping with the bands and the pregnancy, but it couldn't hurt. There was at least an hour or so before the sun went down. I wanted to take her back to the island, but we wouldn't have the blood results until tomorrow. Although Josie was fairly confident nothing was going to change in those results, she wanted to stay. Honestly, I think she missed everyone and wanted to be at the Covenant, and if that was what she wanted, then we'd be here. For now, she was probably safer here. But I'd have to go back in a couple of days to recharge. I wasn't thinking about that. Kind of like pissing on your own parade right there. Carrying our trays outside, we walked to the courtyard, passing through the vine-covered gates. Josie led the way, heading past the benches. She roamed until she found a pretty large patch of grass, then sat down, placing her tray in front of her. I'd loaded her plate up, fries, chicken tenders, a salad, because she figured she should eat some sort of vegetable, a bottle of water and a soda. A side order of strawberries. The early evening sunlight glinted off her bowed head, turning all the shades in her hair into spun gold. Its length fell over her shoulder, brushing her thigh as she bent forward to pick up the can of soda. She lifted her chin.
"You going to join me?"
"I was thinking about just standing here and staring at you some more, to be honest." She grinned as she popped the lid to her soda.
"Well, that doesn't make me feel uncomfortable or anything."
Laughing, I sat beside her. My plate just had a burger on it. I wasn't hungry, obviously, but how could I pass up a burger? "I thought you liked it when I stared at you."
"Not when I'm about to stuff my face full of food."
She dug into the fries first.
"It's weird that I still have to eat as a demigod, but you really don't have to eat as a god."
"I don't make the rules," I murmured, hoping she didn't connect the dots back to the fact I did have to feed. "Have you been sick at all today?" She shook her head.
"Just nauseous this morning. I'm kind of surprised I'm having symptoms already. I hope that doesn't mean I'm going to spend 9 months puking my guts up."
My eyes widened as I picked up the burger. "You and me both."
"I also have no idea if I'll be pregnant for a full 9 months."
That reminded me. "By the way," Alex told Aiden. Her lips twitched.
"Of course she did."
"You're not mad?" She shook her head and then took a drink.
"Aiden's the love of her life. I doubt there's a single thing they don't share. People are going to find out eventually. I just didn't want him to find out before I told you."
I smiled at that. "We should keep the news to people we really trust. We don't need the news getting out there to those we don't want to find out." Josie nodded in agreement as she moved on to the tenders, dipping the crispy pieces into ranch dressing. "Anyway, I think Alex is going to be searching for books on pregnancy. She wants to know if we're having a god or not." Her hand froze halfway to her mouth.
"Those are some words I never thought I'd hear before."
I chuckled as I glanced over at her. Her levels of ether were still low, and the lights flickered. Was it the bands? Or the baby? Speaking of bands, where in the hell was Apollo? And what in the hell would he do when he found out Josie was pregnant? That should be interesting. Sensing an approach, I glanced up to the gate. We're about to get company. A few seconds later, Alex and Aiden entered the courtyard, and right behind them were Luke and Deacon.
"We'd figured you'd be out here,"
Alex said, carrying a small paper bag. As she came closer, I could smell the battery popcorn.
"So we're interrupting you."
"We're not just bothering you," Deacon said. "I've got—"
Catching his gaze, I shook my head. If they were out here, that meant they'd found out something about the warehouse.
I didn't want it brought up in front of Josie. I didn't want her to know, because I fully planned on taking care of business without her knowing. She'd be pissed. But a safe and angry Josie was better than an in-danger one, because even though she had the bands on her wrist, she would want to be involved since it had to do with this bound demigod. She'd forgot our deal, and I'd rather have her yell at me afterwards than before. I also didn't want her to worry, because she would. She knew that if we found Mitchell, it was likely we'd find a Titan. Hell, the damn bastards could just be waiting for us to figure out where Josie had been held. Luckily, Deacon caught my stare and clamped his mouth shut. I glanced over at Aiden, and he seemed to read the silent message I was sending his way.
"You've got what?"
Josie asked. "I've got a story to tell you," Deacon said. His brows lifted high. Luke frowned.
"You do?"
she asked.
"About what?"
"About, well, did you know that the guy who played John Winchester, who was on Supernatural, is now on The Walking Dead, and he plays this guy who pretty much bashes people's heads in with a bat? Sam and Dean must be so proud of their dad."
Josie blinked slowly. I didn't know that.
Yep. Deacon dropped down beside her. Maggie used to be on Supernatural, too. I didn't quite know if that was a good save or not, but hell, whatever worked.
"Where's Gable?"
Josie asked, picking up another fry.
"Is he with Cora?"
Deacon stretched out his lanky frame as Luke sat on the nearby bench. "Yeah, Colin's with them, too."
"How's she doing?"
she asked.
"Better every hour,"
Luke answered, leaning back as he crossed his arms. "We still have that other demigod to find. That one's in Britain, right?" Aiden sat down next to Luke, and I guessed no one was leaving anytime soon. "The haunted town." "Gasp!" Deacon waved his hands. "You actually remembered that?"
"How could anyone forget?"
Alex sat in Aiden's lap.
"It's all you talked about the whole drive back to the Covenant."
"Dude, who wouldn't be excited?" he exclaimed, shaking his head. "It's an entire town that's supposedly haunted. Like, if I'm not scared to death when I go there, I'm going to be disappointed." "Who said you were going there?" Aiden asked, wrapping his arms around Alex's waist. Deacon groaned. "Can we not have this conversation again? I'm going to get the other demigod before they get—" I looked over at Alex. She kept glancing at Josie like she was seconds away from bursting into a torrent of questions. I was surprised she hadn't blurted anything out yet, though I figured Deacon and Luke would discover what was going on. Tuning them out, I focused on Josie. She was looking at the roses with a strange, almost perplexed look. I nudged her shoulder. She glanced over at me. "What are you thinking about?" She smiled as she ducked her chin.
"Nothing. I was dazing."
I looked down and wheeled her plate closer to her. "You should eat more."
"Look at you being all godly and not even touching the plate," she said.
Chuckling, I leaned into her. "Just imagine how creative I can—" A fissure of energy rolled across the courtyard, rising the fine hairs on my arms. Everyone felt it. Grabbing Josie's arm, I launched to my feet as ancient, bronze-colored doors appeared just in front of the gateway. Runes were carved into the metal— runes and symbols that represented the underworld. "What the—" Aiden was already on his feet, as were Alex and Luke. I stepped in front of Josie as the doors opened, prepared for anything to come through those doors. Mist rolled out, creeping over the grass and roses. Then a form appeared, and as the heavy mist retracted, a blonde boy I hadn't seen in a long, long time strolled forward.
That I was not prepared for.
Stunned, I dropped Josie's arm. What in the world?
Caleb!
Alex shrieked, causing Josie to jump.
What are you doing here?
He grinned in her direction.
Long story, but first there's something I'm here to do.
His bright blue eyes focused on us.
Something really important.
God. He looked like the last time I'd seen him alive, all messy hair and a big smile. He started toward us, and out of instinct I blocked Josie.
Caleb's smile spread, reaching his eyes. I'm here because of Apollo.
What? Alex whispered in a thick voice.
Let me see her.
Caleb asked.
I can help her.
There was a part of me that didn't trust him. Trust anyone when it came to Josie's safety. But that damn girl had stepped around me. I looked down as Caleb reached over and took Josie's hands in his.
Hi there,
Caleb said, turning her hands so they were palm up.
It's time, don't you think?
Time for what?
She asked. That strange look settling into her features again. Caleb smiled and Josie gasped. My heart about fucking stopped in my chest.
Oh my God!
Josie said, pulling her hands free as she stumbled back. Spinning, I reached out and wrapped an arm around her. Blood drained from her face as she stared at Caleb like she'd seen a ghost. But that was impossible, because Josie had never met Caleb. He'd died before we met her.
I've seen you before,
she whispered. I swung toward Caleb. His brows were pinched together.
Sorry.
He looked over at Alex.
But we've never met before, and I just need to hope.
But we have,
Josie insisted, lifting her startled gaze to mine.
I've seen him before. I've seen this in a dream. Oh my God! I get it. It wasn't a dream. None of the dreams have been dreams.
What? I clasped her cheeks, confused as all hell. What are you saying? Josie then did the damnedest thing, considering she was so pale. She smiled wildly.
I am special.
Yeah, you are. I was starting to get worried. Alex shifted closer to Caleb.
What is she talking about? I have no idea,
Caleb said.
You don't get it.
She gripped my wrists.
Some of the dreams I've had? They weren't dreams. They're prophecies.
Chapter 33 Josie. Holy crap, I was special. I just hadn't known it. Well, I wasn't as special as Cora, who could bring plants back to life and tell when someone was sick or pregnant, but I had been having prophecies, and it made sense. My absentee father was the god of prophecy, among many other things.
Josie, what are you talking about?
Seth's amber eyes were full of concern. I saw this. I saw him coming to me in a dream, just like I saw Atlas but didn't realize it was him, I explained, slipping free of Seth's gentle grasp. Every time, right before and after I'd have those dreams, I'd get headaches. Remember the headaches?
Yeah, I remember them.
Seth dropped his hands to his sides. I whirled around. Everyone was staring at me like I'd grown a third boob out of the center of my forehead, and no one seemed to care about the gaping doors that appeared out of nowhere, doors to the underworld that were still wide open. I saw you, I said to the boy, who had to be a year or so younger than me. You walked up and took my hands, and you... I faced Alex. Her cheeks were damp. You were crying in my dream. I'm so damn emotional, Alex said, wiping at her cheeks. It was then I remembered who this boy was. Deacon had told me about him, about Alex's friend who died in a demon attack, Caleb. It's just different seeing him up here. Spinning back to Seth, I threw up my hands. I know this sounds crazy, but I'm positive that's what's happening. If only my... I trailed off, lowering my arms. If only my father was around to fill in the blanks, but this boy had said his name. Turning away, I faced him. You said my father sent you?
Yeah, Caleb responded. He's been in the palace, Hades' palace, and let me tell you, those two threw down like cray.
Seth was by my side.
Is that so?
Yep. Like, it was so bad that Persephone threatened to leave if Hades didn't agree to whatever Apollo had been demanded. And I don't know, but that screws up the seasons or something, Caleb explained.
And then I was summoned to the palace.
Why did they summon you? Alex asked the question that was obviously at the forefront of everyone's mind.
He figured that since I was already dead, Seth couldn't really kill me.
Caleb shrugged as my jaw popped open.
I think it's also because Seth wouldn't want to hurt me, right?
Right, murmured Seth.
Deacon was standing.
Damn, it's good to see you. Really is, but why would they send you up here?
Because none of the gods will come near me, Seth answered rather smugly.
Bingo, Caleb agreed. So they got this idea to send me up to take off those things, those bands on your wrists.
Now what he'd said in the dream, in the prophecy, and a few moments ago made sense. You can remove them? Caleb extended his hands again.
That's what they tell me.
I started forward, but Seth stopped me.
Wait, how do we know that this isn't a trick? He demanded. No offense, Caleb, but they could be using you without you even knowing.
Do you really think that? Alex asked, sounding stunned. That Apollo would use Caleb to harm his own daughter?
Damn, Luke muttered. That would be beyond messed up.
Pressure expanded in my chest as I looked over at Seth. He wouldn't. His jaw hardened as he stared down Caleb.
How do you remove the bands?
I just need to touch him, Caleb explained. See, Hades had placed his hand on my head and said some weird magical mumbo-jumbo. Told me that all I needed to do was take her hands and move my fingers over the bands. They'd unhook.
And that's all? Seth demanded.
I really couldn't believe Apollo would agree to anything that would harm me. Granted, I wanted to dropkick him, but he was my father. He'd weakened himself to unbind my powers.
I know what you're thinking, Seth said,
in that freaky way that made you think that he was reading your thoughts.
It's not Apollo I'm worried about. It's Hades. There's always a catch with him.
Well, there is a catch, Caleb said.
I stiffened. What do you mean? Caleb glanced at Seth with a sheepish grin.
Hades wants me to put the bands on you.
What? I gasped.
Oh, shit, Luke said under his breath as Alex stepped forward.
Seth crossed his arms.
Is that so?
Yep. I looked at him like he was crazy because I am not quite sure how he expects me to put the bands on you without you noticing.
Caleb shrugged like it was no big deal.
And I'm pretty sure if Apollo had normal eyes when this was going on, he would have been rolling them.
Wait a second. I jumped in before Seth could do something stupid. You're expected to free me, but turn around and bind Seth's abilities?
Expected to? Yes. Am I going to do so? Nope.
Alex reached Caleb's side, tipping her head back so she could meet his gaze. What will happen if you free Josie and don't do what they ask?
Come on, Hades has to know that Seth isn't going to stand there and let me slap those babies on him. So what I was thinking, you could just hit me with a god bolt and send me back that way, Caleb suggested. Then at least I'm not lying when I say Seth stopped me.
My mouth dropped open. What? Alex demanded. He is not hitting you with a god bolt.
This has gotten really weird, Deacon murmured.
Seth tilted his head to the side.
Not like it's going to kill him or anything.
Caleb nodded.
It's still going to hurt, argued Alex. Actually, when you're dead, it just feels like a quick zap.
My jaw was now on the ground. Have you been hit with a god bolt before? Caleb snorted.
Persephone and Hades are sore losers when they play Mario Kart or when they lose at anything. I've been zapped more times than I can count.
All righty, then, I murmured.
But I am here to help you. I can remove those bands.
Caleb twisted toward Seth as he spoke.
Just let me spend a couple of minutes with everyone before you send me back, okay?
Seth appeared to consider this.
You can have as much time as you want.
Thank you.
Sliding Alex a coy look, Caleb grinned. Told you there was always hope. Alex's lips pursed while Seth's eyes narrowed. I had no idea what that was about, but Caleb took my hands in his. It was only then that I realized that a dead person was holding my hands. A legit dead person. I tried to keep my expression blank as he turned my palms up. My gaze flickered over his shoulder to the gateway. There was nothing but a dark abyss beyond the doors, but I couldn't help but wonder, if I walked through them, would I be able to find my mother? It was too much of a risk, for me and for the child I carried. Caleb smoothed his thumbs over the thin bands. I held my breath. Nothing happened at first. I glanced up at him, and he gave a little shrug. One side of his lips curled down.
It should.
A soft click interrupted him, and a second later the bands slipped off my wrists. Caleb let go of my hands, quickly catching them as a jolt of what felt like electricity shot through my veins. Gasping, I took a step back as I lifted my hands. A white tint filled the veins of my hands and flowed up my arms. I could feel the warmth under my skin washing over me. My attention shot to Seth. His eyes were luminous as he stared at me. He could see this, the ether following the network of vessels, pumping my body full of light and power. And I could feel it. It was like stepping under cold water first thing in the morning. My body was thrust into shock, kicking my pulse and heart rate up. A rush of pins and needles started at my feet and hit every inch of my body. A final pulse of heat invaded my insides, centering around the scar Apollo had left behind on the center of my chest. And then it was all gone, except I could feel the ether in me. Sucking in a sharp breath, I turned to Seth. Can you see it now?
Yeah.
Amber eyes glowed as he stared at me, at my stomach. He looked like he might tip over and fall on his ass again.
Yeah, I can see it. Can you use it?
There was only one more way to make sure that I was back to, well, what the new normal was. Focusing on the can of soda on my tray, I lifted my hand. Luke backed up.
Oh, jeez.
Ignoring him, I tapped into the air element. The can shook and then lifted straight up. I snatched it out of the air, sloshing brown liquid over my hand. My gaze flew to Seth's.
I'm back.
Seth reached over, taking my free hand. He tugged me toward him. I was careful to not spill my drink on him. Wrapping an arm around my waist, he tilted his head toward Caleb.
Thank you, man.
Yes, thank you, I said to him.
No problem.
Holding the bands in his hands, he grinned.
Not often I get to actually be helpful, kind of like old times.
My heart tugged as I saw Alex's face crumple a little. She made a sound that sounded like a squeal and then grabbed the blonde boy, pulling him in for a hug. Within seconds, Caleb was surrounded by her, Deacon, and Luke. Aiden joined them, too. I guessed Alex and Aiden got to see Caleb when they were in the underworld, but I supposed it was different to see each other here, where everyone was actually sort of alive. As the happy reunion took place, Seth pressed his cheek to mine. When he spoke, he did so in a low enough voice that only I could hear him.
How are you feeling?
Good. I knew what he was asking. I feel the same, but just not as tired, if that makes sense.
It does.
He kissed the space below my ear.
I now understand what I saw flickering when I looked at you.
I turned my cheek to his.
What do you mean?
The breath Seth took, I felt.
Remember when I said the ether looked like it was flickering in you? It wasn't your ether I'd been seeing. You must have been nearly depleted, because I can still see the part that's flickering. I know it's the baby.
What?
I drew back, gaping. His eyes were soft as he kept his voice low.
I can still see it. I see your ether, and I see the babies.
My lips parted, but I didn't have the words. Emotion crawled up my throat. He could see the ether in our child. That was, wow. I really didn't know how to process that.
Does it look good? Like, okay?
I think so.
He placed his forehead against mine.
I mean, it has to be.
And I suddenly want to cry, cry happy tears. So I face-planted his shoulder. Somehow, Seth got the can of Coke out of my hand, and it went somewhere, who knew where, and then both of his arms were around me. I'm not usually this emotional, I said into his chest, repeating the same thing Alex had said mere minutes before.
What? He asked.
My voice was still muffled, but I continued anyway. It's just that you can see it, and that just makes it all the more real. His hand pressed into my back as he whispered my name into my ear.
Sometimes I have no idea how your brain works, but I love you, he said, his grip tightening. I love you with every ounce of my being.
There was no stopping my smile. No matter what, this was a beginning.
Chapter 34 Seth. Before I zapped Caleb back to the underworld with a god bolt, I pulled Deacon aside while Josie sat with Luke and listened to Deacon regale them with Tales of Underworld, Nintendo edition. He had the info that I needed. The name of the warehouse was, in fact, an abandoned warehouse just outside Piney Woods. That was where Josie had been held, along with the other two, and it was most likely where I would find Hyperion. Something told me that if he sensed me, he would come. He was a dumb motherfucker like that.
What are you going to do?
Deacon asked as he glanced over at the group.
Do some scouting? Free the demigod?
He paused.
Call out Hyperion and kill him?
I shrugged a shoulder. Deacon tipped his head back.
You don't have to tell me, because I'm sure I already know.
Is that so? He nodded.
I don't blame you for it.
I started to ask him what he wasn't blaming me for, but I stopped as my gaze landed on him. Those silver eyes were far too observant. Sometimes I forgot just how tuned into things Deacon was. We all did.
Just make sure you come back, he said,
looking away, looking at Josie.
She doesn't deserve to be left again.
I know, I said, following his gaze. And I will come back. Kissing Josie on the cheek, I closed my eyes and forced myself out of the bed. It was a hard thing to do. The warmth of her bare skin against mine and the taste of her on my tongue was a lure that was hard to resist. But I had to, because there was something I needed to take care of before she woke. I changed quickly, leaving the daggers on the dresser. I would not need them. Not for this. Before I left, I allowed myself one more long look at her. She was so beautiful to me. Curled on her side with her hands snug under her cheek and her long hair sprayed out across the pillow, she looked like an angel to me. And she really was my own personal angel. I knew if she was awake and knew of my plan, she would advise me against it. Josie might even manage to sway me. After all, she was a calming presence when I wanted to Hulk smash the world. But I didn't need to be calm. I was going to end Hyperion. The world could call me selfish and reckless. I simply did not care. Whatever the consequences were for taking out Hyperion, would be worth it. I wasn't like Apollo. I wouldn't sacrifice the only people I cared about to protect the many. I was doing this for Josie. I was doing this for our child. Because I would not allow her to live one more day in fear of Hyperion, and I sure as hell would not allow my child to grow inside her, and to be born, forced to live with that kind of terror. Exhaling slowly, I willed myself out in the hallway and immediately swallowed a groan. Aiden stood outside the room he shared with Alex, arms crossed against his chest as he leaned against the wall. He was dressed as a sentinel,
daggers and all, and I knew he was ready. Walking toward him, I glanced over my shoulder, and then my gaze settled on him. He opened his mouth. "No," I said. His eyes narrowed. "You're not going with me." Unfolding his arms, he pushed off the wall. "You're going to that warehouse, and I'm going to make sure I play well with others." I cut him off. "I'm going to find the guy named Mitchell." "Yeah, like you really give two shits about that guy," he said. And, well, I really couldn't argue that. Aiden squared off with me. "You're going because you hope it'll draw out Hyperion." I raised my brows. Aiden seemed to take a deep breath. "Either we got lucky with Percy's, or we just don't know what that fallout is, but Hyperion is one of the first 12 Titans. There is no way that taking him out isn't going to do something really bad." "I feel like we've already had this conversation," I mused. His eyes turned quicksilver. "Hyperion is the god of wisdom," I snorted. Aiden was undaunted. "He is the god of wisdom, watchfulness, and light. Now, the first two things probably aren't going to be a big deal, but the light part? I'm guessing his death will have some impact on that." Staring at him, I worked a kink out of my neck. "So I'm guessing you want to hear me say I care. But I'm also guessing you already know that I don't. So, can we please end this conversation? I've got shit to do." "I know you don't care," he replied, voice flat. "Look, I get that you're about saving the world and shit, but we already had this conversation. You and I both know that if Hyperion did that shit to Alex, you'd be gunning for his ass. Just because those shoes aren't on your feet right now, don't think for a second I don't know what you'd be doing." Aiden looked away, because he couldn't deny that. "I cannot allow you to come with me. If Hyperion got a hold of you and you ended up dead, I so do not want to deal with Alex." He turned back to me, and he raised his brows. "You will be a liability, because Hyperion can take you out, and he can't take you out." I smiled as I shook my head. "No." A flicker of emotion shot across his face. Looked a lot like unease. "For what?" I wasn't sure. "If you really want to be a help, then watch over Josie for me," I told him. "If she wakes up and I'm not back yet, tell her I will be. I don't want her to worry. That's what you can do." Aiden looked like he was going to argue, but after a moment he nodded. Knowing that he would do exactly that, I took myself away from the Covenant. I didn't go to Piney Woods first. I went to the island, to just outside the temple. It was daylight as I climbed the steps and entered the temple, finding who I was looking for. Karina stood by the altar, her hands clasped together as if she was waiting. Just like with Basil, I really felt like I needed to get them each an iPad and introduce them to Snapchat or something. "Kyrios?" I strode toward her, arms loose at my sides, but my knuckles bleached white from how tight I was clenching my hands. "I need to feed." Powering up seemed like the smart thing to do. I was going to need everything in me as I focused in on the location Deacon had told me earlier. It took seconds to travel back around the globe to the rundown piece of crap of a warehouse. The moment the building came into view, I knew it was the right place. I don't know, but the place just gave some creep vibes. The busted-out windows and dirted exterior walls screamed, "Serial killer hideout." Crickets chirped off in the distance as I approached the front doors. Moonlight shone down, lighting my path. Wrapping my hands around the handle on the industrial door, I tapped into the fire element. The metal heated up under my grasp, and the internal gears melted. The door slid open. Dust stirred as I walked inside. my booted foot echoing off the warped floors. It was dark inside, but my vision adjusted quickly. Forgotten workbenches and pallets were scattered across the floor. Mice scurried for their hidey holes, their claws clicking as they chittered. Based on what Josie had said, she had been kept below ground. I searched the main floor, keeping my senses on high alert. I neared the back of the building, spying a closed door that didn't look like it led to any offices. This door was unlocked. Opening it, I was immediately surrounded by the damp, musky scent and a sickly sweet stench that did not bode well. Shit! I headed down, already knowing what I was going to find. Moonlight crept through a small window, casting faint light over the small, dirt-packed room. Water dripped from the ceiling, an old busted pipe. In the corner, there was a mass of clothes. And something else. Fuck, I muttered. Walking over, I knelt down. The first thing I saw were two goldish bands circling bony wrists. The skin was patchy in spots, and I realized he was lying half on his back, half on his side. His eyes were eyes, wide and glazed off. Mitchell was dead, and he'd been dead a while. This was going to hurt Josie, and I hated that. She would blame herself, thinking that if she'd remembered the name on the box truck sooner, she would have been able to save him, but from the looks of it, this guy'd never had a chance. Sighing, I leaned back. Scanning the dark room, I shook my head. Josie had been right. No one deserved to die in a place like that. Well, I did know of one person. A trickle of awareness skated over the back of my neck, and a slow smile inched across my face. Laughter broke the silence. And then, Hyperion said, "I knew you would come." I lifted my gaze up the damp wall and slowly rose. "I waited." "Took you long enough?" Hyperion taunted. "Did you have to work up the nerve?" With my back to him, I tilted my head. "Oh, yeah. I was so scared." "You should have been, you little bitch." I laughed as I felt the deadliest element known to man and God stir deep inside me. "You can't even look at me, can you?" Hyperion laughed. "You may have the other Titans scared, especially since you took out Atlas and then Perseus, but I know what you are." Fury hummed over my skin. "And what is that?" "You're just a supped-up god killer. And that means I can kill you," he said, chuckling. "But I'm not going to kill you fast. I'm going to keep you down here just like I did with your pretty girlfriend." Akasha snapped alive, wrapping itself around the volcanic anger swirling inside me. "I'm going to feed off you," Hyperion continued, "and I'm going to go find that blonde bitch again, and then I'll gut her right here in front of you." Power crackled along my knuckles. "Is that a promise?" "Oh, yeah, it is. But not before I have a little fun with her," he said, chuckling. "Then, when you're begging for death, I'll hand you over to Cronus, and he'll reward me by giving me Apollo." "Well then," I said, turning around. Hyperion stood near the doorway. "I was planning to kill you slowly." Hyperion grinned. "Yeah?" "Yeah," I said, nodding. "I was going to drag it out, cut little slices into your skin, turn you into a living fucking coloring book. You know they're all the rage now. Then slowly burn you from the inside out, but not before I cut your dick off and shoved it down your throat and hang your balls around your neck like a noose."
Sounds like a fun evening.
It would have been, but you see, I've matured, I said, smirking as I took a step toward him. Hyperion tensed, and my smirk grew. I'm not going to drag this out. I'm not going to take pleasure into turning you into a weeping mass of flesh and broken bone. I paused, dipping my chin as I felt pure power rippling up my spine. But I am going to take great pleasure in killing you. Hyperion's lip curled. You're not going to do anything. You're not absolute. Then give me your best shot. I lifted my arms. He didn't have to be asked twice. Shooting across the room, he cocked an arm back. A second later, his fist slammed into my jaw, knocking me back several inches. I didn't raise my hands or even try to stop him. The pain actually felt good. Like I needed to feel. Because there was a part of me that deserved the first punch and then the second. I welcomed the fiery bite, the retribution for the pain I'd caused Josie, and when I hit the ground with the third punch, the air rushing for my lungs was a pittance for the pain I was most likely going to cause a whole lot of innocent people by the end of the night. The kick in the stomach was enough. Hyperion loomed over me, bloody fists at his sides. You're not going to fight back? Spitting out a mouthful of blood, I laughed coldly. You're a dumbass. He blinked. I tipped my head back, smiling up at him. I'm just playing with you. Popping to my feet, I slammed my hands into his shoulders, knocking the Titan across the room and onto his ass. Now, you're going to die. Chapter 35. Letting the purest, strongest power take over. I lifted my arm. Amber light lit up the room as a bolt of godly akasha whirled down my bicep. The world tinted white as I let the bolt of absolute power go. It shot across the small room, smacking into Hyperion's chest. He'd tried to move. He tried to dart to the side, but he wasn't fast enough. I was done playing with him. That was it. It was over. The fucker was going to die. And it was like Atlas all over again. A look of pure astonishment washed over Hyperion's face as the whitish amber light pulsed. The same dumb motherfucking look that said he couldn't believe I just punched out his immortality card as he stared down at the gaping, glowing hole in the center of his chest. Outside, lightning slammed into the ground and thunder cracked the sky wide open. The smell of burnt ozone filled the tiny room. Hyperion went down on one knee, the impact splitting the floor. I kept up, pulling every ounce of deadly power from within as he fought back, throwing out an arm as if to stop the stream of akasha. Air crackled and popped as the very fine network of veins lit up under Hyperion's skin. I lowered my arm. I am absolute. He opened his mouth, but there was no sound as the light in his veins expanded, bled through the vessels, and washed over his body. The light pulsed once more, and then it was an explosion of fireworks that shook the ceiling and the floor, the entire building. And then there was nothing but scorched earth remaining.
No!
A female voice shouted. I spun around. It was her, the female Titan. Power rippled over my skin. My chin dipped down as I stalked toward her. Too late. She screeched as she drew back. Her screams ripped through the air as she spun in a dizzying circle. Black smoke surrounded her body as I summoned the absolute power once more. She flew to the side. A mini funnel of rage crashing through a wall, plaster exploded, pluming into the air. The female Titan was gone. most likely to alert the rest of the crew that their days were numbered. Jaw working, I turned back to the spot where Hyperion had stood. A weight lifted from my shoulders. Wasn't like we didn't have the other Titans to worry about, but this one? Yeah, this one had needed to go. The charred floor had changed. Tiny specks of glowing red embers flickered. Closing my hands to my fists, I walked over to the spot and stared down, brows knitting together. The flecks looked like...
What have you done?
My back stiffened. There was no denying who stood behind me. Awful brave of you to show up after the Titan who captured your daughter is no longer in the picture.
I warned you once about questioning my loyalty to my daughter.
Apollo shot back.
I will not warn you again.
I faced Apollo, ignoring his threat. I think it's pretty obvious what I did.
Do you have any idea what this could cause?
Apollo stepped toward me.
He needed to be entombed. He needed to die.
Power crackled in the air around me.
Do you know what he did to Josie? There was going to be no entombing for that bastard. I will not have her living in fear. I will not have our...
I cut myself off.
You will not have your what?
He demanded. And then he sucked in a sharp breath. I had no idea if he'd guessed the truth. I sure as hell wasn't going to confirm it, because I didn't trust the bastard. The god's all-white eyes snapped electricity.
You may be a god now, but you need to understand that your emotions cannot rule you.
Oh, that's really funny coming from one of you. His chest rose.
With godhood comes great responsibility. Did you rip that off from Spider-Man?
Anger tightened his features.
Is everything a joke to you?
Yeah. I looked around the room.
Mainly you?
He exhaled roughly. If my daughter didn't love you...
What?
I threw up my arms. What would you do, Apollo? Turn me into a bush that smells like cat piss, really? Don't you think that's a little played out? I'm not... Apollo moved faster than I could track. One moment he was standing in front of me, and the next he had a hand around my throat and my back to a wall. Dirt filled the air as he leaned in, getting all up in my face.
You test every strain of my patience,
he growled as his fingers dug into my windpipe.
This is my I don't give a fuck face, in case you're wondering. You best learn quick who you're speaking to, Seth.
Wrapping a hand around his wrist, I bared my teeth.
And you best learn real quick who you're messing with.
Slamming my free hand down on his, I broke his hold and threw him back. Apollo caught himself as shock splashed across his face. His wide-eyed gaze met mine as I came off the wall.
There's only one reason I won't kill you,
I warned, stalking toward him,
but that does not mean I will not bring you to an inch of your death.
A muscle thrummed in his jaw as several moments passed.
Do you have any idea of what you have begun? The chain of events you have started?
I opened my mouth, but I really didn't have an answer.
Do you not remember what Ewan had said to you?
He straightened, as he referenced the nymph. Apollo shook his head.
You better be ready.
A cold shiver curled down my spine.
Ready for what? There will be consequences.
Apollo said, there will be consequences for what you have done tonight.
Aren't there always?
He lifted his chin as he stepped back.
Not like this, Seth. Not like this.
Josie. I knew what had happened the exact moment I woke. I realized my bed was empty and the world was shaking. It was like some kind of instinctual knowledge told me what happened. I was going to kill Seth. Okay, I wasn't going to kill him, but I was most definitely going to hit him. Throwing the covers off, I shot to my feet and grabbed my clothes off the floor, hastily pulling them on in case the entire covenant came down on my head. I rushed from the bedroom and through the sitting room. Throwing open the door, I drew up short, coming face to face with a silver-eyed demigod. "Where is he?" I demanded. My heart pounded painfully in my chest. Aiden glanced up at the flickering overhead light.
"You know where he went."
I cursed under my breath as a doorway down the hall opened and Alex stumbled out, blinking rapidly. She threw her arms out as a tremor rocked the hallway.
"Oh, gods, this is not a normal earthquake, is it?"
Aiden sighed.
"I'm going to go with no."
She lowered her arms.
"You let him go?"
"Didn't really have a choice," Aiden replied dryly. "Think you forgot the whole Seth is a god now thing."
Alex stopped, frowning. "Your shirt's inside out." Of course it was. Doors all up and down the hallway opened, and I spotted Deacon and Luke. I drew in a sharp breath as I stepped back. The flickering light steadied.
"How long ago did he leave?"
"You miss me already."
Gasping, I spun around. Seth stood in front of the door. I didn't think. Cocking back an arm, I punched him in the stomach as hard as possible. Seth grunted out a laugh as he bent at the waist.
"Gods!
What did you do?" I demanded.
And then I really saw him as he straightened. There was a faint bruise on his cheek. His lip looked raw, and his shirt was charred at the hem.
"What happened to your face? Your clothes?"
"Don't worry, my perfect face will heal," he said,
grinning in a way that looked like it would hurt. I shook my head.
"Seth!"
The grin slipped from his face.
"I had to, Josie."
"But you didn't," I whispered. But
who was I kidding? Did I for one second truly believe that Seth wasn't going to go after Hyperion? No, I didn't. I closed my eyes. "Hyperion is dead?"
"Yes. So are quite a few charbroiled demons that eventually climbed out of a hole in the ground."
A few seconds later, I felt his hands on my cheeks. Aware that we had audience, I stiffened as he leaned in, resting his forehead against mine.
"I know you're probably pissed and even disappointed. I'm sorry for that. He could not live. Not now. There was no way."
I shuddered, torn between being relieved that Hyperion was gone and horrified by the possible repercussions. What was going to happen? Hyperion was a big deal. Then I remembered. My head snapped up and my eyes opened.
"Mitchell, did you—"
Seth shook his head.
"I'm sorry. He didn't make it."
"No," I whispered, refusing to believe it. "He was alive. He had to be."
His tawny eyes searched mine.
"Psyche Mu, he had been gone for a while."
Tears crawled up my throat. I don't know why it affected me so much, but it did, because saving Mitchell was important. He hadn't deserved what was done to him. And to die like that? It was so wrong. Seth said something, and then the next second we were back in the room, on the bed. I was in his lap, and his arms were tight around me.
"I'm sorry," he said. "It is not your fault, Josie. You couldn't have changed the outcome."
I wasn't so sure about that. Maybe if I'd gotten my head together quicker, I would have remembered the box truck.
"Please."
He tipped my chin up so our gazes met.
"This is not your guilt to carry. Hyperion did that to him. The Titans did. You are not at fault."
Repeating those words over and over in my head didn't change how I felt. And beyond the bitter sadness of discovering that Mitchell had died, how in the world were we going to entomb the Titans now? Seth could not keep killing them. God only knows what was happening out in the world, even though the tremors here had stopped. I took a deep, shaky breath. "What's going to happen now?" He folded his hand over my cheek as a shadow crossed his features.
"I know things aren't going to be easy. I don't know everything that is going to happen, but I know one thing."
"What?"
"You will not have to fear Hyperion or any Titan. Our child won't have to worry about things not being okay," Seth said,
splaying his other hand across my lower stomach.
Because we're going to end this. We're going to make it okay for this child.
Together? Seth's lips brushed the curve of my jaw. He stopped to press a kiss to my pulse and then said,
Together.
Closing my eyes, I wiggled closer to him. I didn't want to think about how we were going to stop any of this. Right then, I just wanted to focus on us, on what we both had been feeling earlier, because that had been warm and wonderful. Maybe that made me a terrible person. There was so much death, and I knew there would be more. Things were happening outside of this little piece of the world. We had no idea what was going to happen in the next hour. The world could try to come crashing down on us and all those we cared about. We'd fight it. We'd fight it for each other, for our child, and for our friends. And tomorrow, I was probably going to hit Seth again. I probably was going to be angry that he'd gone after Hyperion. But I was still going to love him, so we were going to deal with that. Right now, we just had right now. Seth's lips found mine, and the kiss was soul deep. There was always something about the way he kissed me, like it was the first and last time. There was no hurry, no rush. If he never said he loved me, this kiss told me he did. But he had spoken those words. My arms tightened around his waist as I rested my cheek against his chest. Seth's hand smoothed up and down my back, following the line of my spine, and my eyes started to drift shut again when something occurred to me. And then I remembered. Sucking in air, I drew back as tension clamped down on my chest. I'd been having prophecies since Apollo had unlocked my abilities. Most of them had served as some kind of warning of what was to come.
Josie?
My gaze swung back to Seth's as an icy sense of disbelief invaded my veins. It hit me then that I had seen more than just Caleb in my so-called dreams. I had heard more than just Atlas's warning that he was coming for us, that one of us would die. I'd seen something else. I'd seen it more than once, and I knew it hadn't been a dream. I'd seen my own death. Just like Atlas had come and ended Solos's life, and how I'd seen Caleb standing before me when I'd never even met him, I knew that this prophecy would come to pass too. And just like Seth had promised, he had no idea, but we were to face that together. This concludes The Struggle by Jennifer L. Armentrout. Narrated by Paul Bamer and Justine Eyre. Copyright 2017 by Jennifer L. Armentrout. This unabridged audiobook is published by arrangement with Jennifer L. Armentrout, care of Marshall Lyon Literary Agency, and was produced in the year 2017 by Tantor Media Incorporated, a division of Recorded Books, which holds the copyright thereto. Please visit Tantor.com for more information on our growing library of unabridged audiobooks and to take advantage of special offers.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.